Well, tonight I'd like to share some things with you from the book of Romans, chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. We're going to begin reading in, Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter number 5. We're going to begin reading in verse number 6. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 6. And we're going to go really quickly through a bunch of different words that I think may be a blessing to you. Romans 5, 6 says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." Now let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much for the gift of salvation. Lord, for the fact that it changes our eternal destiny, it changes our relationship with you, it changes the way we view life, it changes our purpose in life. And Lord God, I just want to thank you for salvation. And Lord, as we look into your word tonight, I pray that you would encourage us and just uplift us, Lord, with the truth of your word. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I've only been in the States for about 3 days this week, and I've noticed something. What I've noticed is, as I've turned on the radio and I've listened to the radio and the news and I've looked on television, it seems to me, and maybe I'm wrong, it seems to me like there's a bunch of depressed people here in America. It seems to me like people are very, very worried. And it seems to me that people do not like what they see politically, economically. They do not like what they see coming down the road. And I realize that we are going through difficult times. As missionaries, when we look at the amount of money that comes in every month, we know something's going on back home in the States. We know that there's some folks that are struggling to sacrifice so that we can be on the field, but we also see that some people have had to say, "I'm sorry, we cannot continue what we've been doing." But as I've listened, it's so sad to me that I have not heard even one time the simple truth that although finances are tight and there's situations that are very difficult, our God still sits upon a throne in heaven. And the fact that you and I are saved cannot be changed by any decision of Congress or the Supreme Court. I thank God that there's a few things on this earth that are absolute. I thank God that I have God's Word and it never changes. It doesn't matter how much money I've got in the bank. It depends on an eternal God who owns the streets of heaven that are covered in gold. You know, I'm so thankful for God's goodness. Just yesterday, I had to meet with a tax accountant. And I was worried. I mean, I'll tell you the truth, just like you might be. I had to refile some taxes and some things. And it's, anyway, I had to fix this situation. I was worried that I was going to have to pay a bunch of money that I really didn't have. And the lady had told me, she said, "You know, this is probably going to cost you about $4,000, maybe $4,500. And I'm thinking, "Oh, ma'am, you have no idea." And I was just praying. And I went in there yesterday morning and just asking God. I told God before I went, I said, "Lord, no matter what happens, I'm going to praise you for it." And I went in there, and you know, it's always easier to praise him when times are good, isn't it? And I went in there, and she said, "I've got some good news for you." I said, "Well, that's great." She said, "You're not going to have to pay anything." I said, "Oh, wow, thank God." And she said, "Yes." She said, the way that you have done certain things, you have all your books in order and everything, everything's perfect. You do not have to pay any taxes, but I need to let you know something." And I said, "Okay, what's that?" She said, "Actually, you forgot to claim something And you're going to have to get a refund from the IRS. I said, you're kidding. I said, now wait a minute. I didn't even send them any money. She said, well, yes, I understand. But because of, and she explained a few things, she said, you're going to have to get a refund. And I said, well, praise the Lord. You know, God is still on the throne of heaven. And our salvation is secure in Jesus Christ. Now, what I want to do for just a few minutes tonight is to talk to you about a few word pictures in the Bible about our salvation. We're going to start with the word salvation, and it's the word that's translated in some places in the Bible as deliverance. By the way, the Hebrew word for salvation is the same root from which we get the word Jesus. It's the word Yeshua in Hebrew. In Greek, the word is soteria, from which we get our word Savior or soter in Greek. Now, this word literally means that we should be delivered. We should be given safety. We should be given protection or preservation. And in our salvation, we are secure. We are protected. We are safe. And we are delivered from the worst possible scenario, which is going to hell. By the way, paying taxes isn't the worst thing that could happen. Going to hell is the worst thing that could happen. But listen, we get better than that. We get to go to heaven. It doesn't matter what we do upon this earth. It doesn't matter where we live or what kind of job we have. Because of Jesus Christ, I get to spend not just a few months, I spend all of eternity in heaven. Praise God, I'm so excited about that. You know, I found out a few hours ago, one of my friends, Brother Johnny Cunningham, passed away and he's with the Lord. I didn't know about that. And you know, heaven is so sweet. I've got a lot of friends up there, preacher. When I was a pastor in Mexico, I preached 60 funerals in 6 years. And I realize a lot of people have preached more than that. But when you have to say goodbye to somebody, it's so much easier when they're saved. When they're not saved, there's no hope. But when a person has placed their faith in Jesus Christ, that is deliverance. That's safety. You can say, see you later, instead of goodbye forever. Thank God for salvation. What about the word adoption? Here in Romans chapter 8 and verses 15 and 23, we find this word. It's the Greek word, wistheria. And those of you who know Greek, wis is the same root as weos. And wistheria means to be placed as a son. Now, what exactly does this mean, adoption? It does not mean that God takes us away from the devil and makes us to become the children of God. That's what we normally would think of with the word adoption. Adoption really has to do more with responsibility. Adoption means that I am placed as a son, responsible for my own actions, but with all of the rights and responsibilities and privileges of a mature son. Now, what that means is that upon salvation, at the moment of salvation, you and I have just as much right as Jesus Christ Himself to ask God for something. You think about that for just a minute. Think about that for just a minute. As soon as I am saved, I have as much right as anyone, including Jesus, to ask God for anything I need. Wow, that's awesome. But it also implicates responsibility. It means at the moment of salvation, I have the responsibility of being obedient to God's word. I can't slack off and say, well, I've only been saved for a few months. I don't have to go to church. I've only been saved for a short time. I don't have to read the Bible. I don't have to pray. No, as a Christian, we have the rights, but also the responsibilities. The Bible also mentions the word atonement. Romans 5:11, we saw that word. Now, this word in Hebrew is the same word that means a wing, such as the wing of a bird, and it means to be covered. We read about this in Psalm 91. We can find that word as well. And this word, although it's only translated one time, which is, of course, right here in Romans 5:11, This is the same word that is translated in other places as reconciled. And so atonement means to be covered. God covers us. He covers us with His blood. He covers us so that when God looks at us, He doesn't see sin. He sees the blood of Jesus Christ. And it's this covering upon us. And you know, we wouldn't want to go outside in this kind of weather without the right clothes on. I mean, it's raining outside. It's cold outside. You could get sick. Well, imagine how much more important it is that we should be covered in the blood of Christ when we stand before an almighty God. Wow, praise God, He covers us. And then the word confirmation, to be conformed. In Romans 8:29, we see that word. And in Romans 8:29, it talks about this word confirmation. And conformed means that we are changed in appearance. What exactly does this mean? Now, the Greek word is symorphos, and sun means with, and morph means form. And so what it means is, I look like Christ. You know, I'm supposed to look like Christ. I'm supposed to talk like Christ, and I'm supposed to dress like Christ, and I'm supposed to walk like Christ, and I'm supposed to make friends like Christ, and I'm supposed to act and to think like Christ. And when I don't, it's sin. We need to act and think and walk and talk and dress and even eat and drink like Christ. You say, wait a minute, where does it say that? Eat like Christ? I mean, I love chocolate brownies. I don't know who was in charge of the meal tonight, but they did a fantastic job. And I just love chocolate brownies. But when I eat like Christ, according to 1 Corinthians 10:31, I do it to God's honor and to God's glory. And so as I'm eating that chocolate brownie, I'm putting it in my mouth and I'm saying, oh, thank you, Lord. This is so good. Oh, God, thank you for a good chocolate brownie. And He gets the glory from it. And I get to enjoy the brownie. Yes, sir. What about the word forgiveness? Now, forgiveness, we find that all throughout the Old Testament, New Testament, this word literally means to be released from bondage. The Greek word aphesis. Aphesis means that it's like the chains fall off. And we were who were slaves, and we who were condemned to this bondage were released. It's like a bird that's been let out of a cage, and we can just fly free. We can go. In the present, it's a release from the power of sin. In the past, it's a release from the punishment of sin. And in the future, it's a release from the presence of sin. And I don't know about you, but I'm so thankful that when we get to heaven, I won't even be tempted to sin. That'll be fabulous. You know, that makes you happy enough, you can skip reading the news for the next 24 hours, all that negative stuff that they put out. And just delight yourself in what God has done. In Romans 8, verse number 30, we find the word glorification. We find these words throughout the book of Romans. Very important words. And the word glorification means that God makes us to have glory. Now, I want you to understand, it doesn't mean that we have it in and of ourselves. See, there's nothing in Bill Patterson that's glorious. It's only because of what God has done in my life. And let's remember to give God the glory and not try to take it for ourselves. You see, glorification means that God makes us to have His glory. For what purpose? So that we can shine as lights to other people and they can look at us and say, there's something different about this person, and I want that. What is it that you've got? Because I'd like to know how to get it. And when we shine God's glory to others, it's because He's made us to have that glory. The word justification, we read that in Romans 5, verse number 9, means to be made righteous. It's not because I'm righteous. It's not that I've done anything that makes me holy. It means I've been made righteous. That's what justification is. Some people have translated this word with a phrase, as if I had never sinned. That's what this word justification means. It means God looks at me and I've got a clean slate in front of Him. The word propitiation. Now that word means appeasement. Appeasement. In other words, God's wrath upon my sin is calmed down to the point that God's no longer angry with my sin because of what Jesus Christ has done. Oh, God has every right to be upset with me. I've done some really stupid things in my life. And I'm so thankful that Jesus Christ's sacrifice on Calvary was enough that God looked down from heaven instead of being angry with me for what I've done. He looks at me with mercy and with compassion. He says, "My child." And that's what the word propitiation means. The word reconciliation means to be made right. In Romans chapter 5 and verse number 10, this Greek word is the Greek word katalasso. This word was used in reference to money exchange. We had a preacher come down to Mexico last week. Some of you know Brother Kim Hayes from up in Chickasha, Oklahoma. He came down and he was inside in the back and he decided to exchange some money, and he exchanged some dollars into Mexican pesos. And for those of you who know the exchange rate right now, it's about 12.50 to 1. And back up inside the airport, he only got 10 pesos for each dollar instead of 12.5 per dollar. Well, he exchanged $200. All right? Well, what that means is he lost about $35 of the 200 that he exchanged. That's not a good exchange rate. Not a good exchange rate at all. And so what people were talking about when they used this word is that it was made a good exchange. A good exchange. In other words, you take one kind of money and you exchange it for another kind of money, and it's a good exchange. It evens out. Well, let me talk to you about this for just a minute. Here comes a low-life sinner named Bill Patterson, destined for hell. And I come to Jesus Christ with my burden of sin. And he says, "Tell you what, I'll make you an exchange." He said, "I'll take your burden of sin and I'll go to Calvary for you. And instead of sending you to hell, I'll let you sit in heaven in heavenly places. Instead of suffering for all of eternity, I'll save you and I'll let you be my joint heir." My goodness, that's a good exchange. He got a rotten deal when he got me, but I sure am glad he took me. You know what? That's what this word reconciliation means. It means I've been made right with God. In other words, Jesus Christ took my place and I got to take his place, and it can't be any better than that. What about the word redemption? It's found all over the Bible, but in Ephesians 1:7, the word translated redemption is the word apolutrosis, which means that Jesus Christ paid my ransom to get me from the devil. Now, in Galatians 3:13, a different Greek word is used, which is also translated redemption, which is exagorazo. Ex means out of, agora was the market, and exagorazo means to be purchased out of the market. Now, the only kind of people that were ever purchased in a market were slaves. And I was a slave. I was a slave to sin. I had no control over my destiny and my life. I had no control over the things that I thought and the way that I was leading my life. And Jesus Christ came and he bought me. He redeemed me. He bought me out of that marketplace. We could talk about the word remission. Remission means to be passed over. What this word means exactly, Romans 3:25, it means that my sin is disregarded. It's no longer important because of what Jesus Christ did. My price has been paid. One last word, the word washed. Revelation 1:5, it talks about this word. It means to be made clean. You know, in Jesus Christ, I'm clean. Sometimes because of my sin, as I've thought about what God has changed me from and how He saved me and cleansed me, I sometimes feel so dirty. And yet God has made me to be clean before Him. Tonight, I want to thank God for salvation. If you're here and you've never experienced these things that I'm talking about, you can walk out of here knowing for sure that God has done this in your life. I mean, you can know it. I promise you, according to God's Word, based on God's promises, you can know that God has done this for you. But maybe you're saved and you've known these things, but you sometimes start to forget what God's done. Would you just take a minute tonight and remind yourself of all that Jesus has done for you and just tell Him thank you. Just say, oh God, thank You that You've saved me. Thank You that You've helped me in all these things that You've done for me. Lord God, thank You. You know, when we remember salvation, we can forget about a whole lot of other problems. We can just kind of put them on a back burner because, you know, when it's all said and done, I'm out of here, folks. And let's just ask God to help us. Heavenly Father, there's so much more that You've done for us. Lord, as we've looked at just 10 words tonight, we could have looked at many, many more. Lord, I just want to say thank You. Lord, thank You that You're my Savior, my Redeemer, my Lord. Thank You that You've justified me and that You've glorified me. And thank You that You've adopted me. Lord, thank You that You've redeemed me and You've reconciled me to God and You've sanctified me and justified me. Lord, thank You that You've given me Your righteousness and thank You that You redeemed me. Lord Jesus, thank You that You've sealed me with the Holy Spirit and washed me. Thank You, Lord, that atonement has been made and propitiation has been made. And Lord God, I just want to say thank You. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, nobody's looking around right now. I'd like to pray for some of you. Is there anyone here tonight to say, Brother Bill, you know, I'm saved. I know that Jesus Christ has forgiven me for my sins. But lately, I've kind of gotten away from that, and I've kind of forgotten all that God's done for me, and I've been a little depressed, kind of put my eyes on temporal things instead of on the eternal. And you just say, please pray for me that God will help me to keep my eyes on Jesus. If that's your prayer tonight, would you just lift your hand? Let me pray for you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I see hands all over the auditorium. God bless you. Is there anyone here tonight to say, Brother Bill, you know, I don't think I have all of that. That was a lot of stuff that God's willing to do, and I'm just not sure that Jesus Christ has done all that for me. And you'd say, please pray for me that I'd be saved. Pray for me that I could know beyond any doubt that Jesus Christ has done all those things for me. Would you just lift your hand? Let me pray for you if that's your prayer tonight. Is there anyone at all? Just slip it up and put it back down. I'd like to pray for you if that's your need. Very well. Heavenly Father, please bless this invitation. Bless the preacher and bless the prayers of Your people in Jesus' name. Amen.